Wake up, everybody. Welcome to The Rebellion. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores and sifting through all of the propaganda that we're being piled on top of on a regular basis. And we're going to talk about an October surprise. We've been predicting that, yes, an October surprise would come. And now the New York Times is out with sort of a bombshell admission that this is the New York this is the October surprise, which could be devastating for the Kamala Harris campaign. We're going to talk about that.
Also, we're going to talk about how the CIA says they have foiled a terror plot around Election Day. Have they really? What proof is that? Also, were we expecting that? So that's interesting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, how involved were they in this plot? And this maybe could be part of the October surprise that they've been talking about. We're also going to talk about weather modification. President Biden yesterday came out and looked like a fool, saying that weather modification, weather manipulation, the government has nothing to do with it. And yet multiple U.S. presidents have confirmed it. And the head of the CIA has confirmed it. We spoke to a whistleblower who actually worked on some of these projects and worked actually at the South Pole Station in Antarctica at one of the large. Think about like the HAARP machine that's in Alaska. Think about the project that he worked on in Antarctica is like the HAARP machine on steroids, as he describes it. So we're going to talk with him today on the show.
Plus, we have an exercise in free speech because we say we stand for free speech. Do we stand for someone who said something that maybe conservatives and libertarians don't like? Well, we're going to push ourselves and see if we stand for free speech for this professor in Kansas who said that people who refuse to vote for Kamala Harris should be executed.
That's the tolerant left. Also, we're going to talk about Justin Trudeau. I don't know if you guys know what's going on in Canada right now, but this is a government in turmoil. You have Justin Trudeau, who's literally hiding right now in Laos, Southeast Asia, because his government is collapsing in real time around a massive green slush fund scandal. Yeah, create a green slush fund and then give all of your friends millions of dollars. That doesn't fly. Will they be holding a snap election in the coming days or in the coming weeks? We're going to talk about that on the show today. So all of that and so much more as we kick off the show today. Good to see everyone. Welcome in on this Thursday. It's been an absolute crazy week. We hope that our friends in Florida have done okay. I mean, we know many of them, of course, still without power, about 1.5 million people still without power down there. Mm-hmm. How many of you have relatives there or escaped yourself from the storm trajectory? Because a lot of people's houses are completely underwater and destroyed at this hour.
Yes, we also should offer you a programming note that next week there will not be a live show. We will still have content for you. We will still be following the news. So stick with Redacted. But when our kids are off, we're off. So anytime that happens and the kids are off, and you don't want a show when our kids are off, believe me.
No, it's miserable.
We're just letting you know in advance that there'll be 4 days without a live show, but please stay subscribed to Redacted.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, we've got a lot of news to get to here on your Thursday, and we're going to talk about this October surprise in just a second. But first, if you want a better way to simplify finance operations for your business across expenses, vendor payments, and accounting, if so, Ramp could be a game changer for you and your business. Feel like your finance software isn't cutting it? And if you want the latest and greatest in financial software to simplify spending, that's where Ramp comes in. Ramp is the corporate card and spend management software designed to help you save time and put money back in your pocket. Ramp gives finance teams unprecedented control and insight into how the company's spending money. Their accounting software automatically collects receipts and categorizes your expenses in real time, so you don't have to. Like if you're going on a business trip, it automatically does it, puts it in the right folders, saves you time, saves you money. Businesses that use Ramp save an average of 5% the first year. Ramp is easy to use. You can get started very, very easily. In less than 15 minutes, you can be up and running making payments, whether you have 5 employees or 5,000. Right now, get $250 off. Right now, you can get $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/redacted. That's ramp.com/redacted, ramp.com/redacted.
Well, the New York Times.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Must say that.
Okay.
Yes. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. They always get you with those disclaimers. You want to make sure that's in there. Okay.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Well, the New York Times is freaking out because we got our October surprise, and it's that the country sucks, under Kamala Harris. And that's what they're so worried about. Not just the hurricanes, not just the war, but it's the economy, stupid. Here, the Times is saying that the hurricanes, the strikes, which are now old news, the war economy, all bad narratives for Harris. And in fact, that's true. What's worse, though, is that inflation numbers out today are not helping. Now, economists had hoped that they would be lower than they are, and the numbers don't follow the campaign narrative. The Harris campaign, though, keeps repeating, the economy's good. The economy's getting better. That's what she told Stephen Colbert just this week. But that's not what the numbers show. And it's not how Americans feel. So let's look at the new inflation numbers. They show 2.4% inflation in September, which is higher than economists were hoping for, which was 2.3%. Only energy costs have gone down over the last 12 months. But when you remove energy, inflation is closer to 4%. And the Brown Institute points out that the government metrics for inflation suffer from various problems, which tend to underestimate the price in the rise in prices over time. They say that these shortcomings have been more pronounced over the last 4 years because of a relatively rapid depreciation of our currency. Can you argue with that?
No.
I don't think I can. Now, the bit of the economy that the Biden-Harris campaign, or the Harris campaign, continues to brag about is joblessness, that joblessness is down. But that's because of added government jobs, which means the Democrats have grown the size of the government, which we expected, which means the federal deficit will continue to balloon. They have no plans to cut spending whatsoever, full stop. So how can the Harris campaign answer to this for undecided voters that see and feel it? Well, here's how the Times expressed their not-so-subtle worry that you can't package this in a new face and get away with it. It says, Ms. Harris, a long a risk-averse politician... I could argue with that.
She's risk averse.
But I'm not going to. Okay.
Okay.
She has tried to both claim Mr. Biden's accomplishments as her own while defining herself as the future and the 81-year-old president as the past. She barely mentions the president's name in her campaign speeches and makes a middle-class pitch that aims to correct for the inflation and high prices voters blame on Mr. Biden's economic stewardship. This week's events thrust Ms. Harris' balancing act of being both number two to Mr. Biden and atop the ticket in her own right back into the spotlight. The scenes of striking workers, hurricane devastation in the southeast, missiles over Israel are unwelcome complications, they say. It's trending poorly for her. Reality that they created is bad for her. And again, the debate. Let's skip down a paragraph. It says the overlapping developments just as the calendar turned to October is a reminder that while Ms. Harris has framed her candidacy as a fresh start for the nation, she's very much a part of the administration still in charge. And it quotes Donald Trump saying, the world right now is spiraling out of control. Can you argue with that? Do you not feel it? And in fact, the Brownstone Institute tries to go even beyond the government-published data and control for all manner of things, such as deregulation. Housing prices, insurance premiums, income growth, and GDP growth, those are not factored into the price index, and they find that inflation is woefully insufficient to measure just how badly it's been over the last 4 years. And they say we've been in a recession since 2022. They conclude, I encourage you to, this is a dense article, and that's why I put the title here so you can find it for yourself. Because what they conclude is that the cumulative inflation since 2019 has been understated by nearly half, and the economic growth has been overstated by 15%, which is huge for a five-year period, even compared to the 2008 crisis.
Yeah, so even if you account and say you take energy out of the equation, right? And you take energy out of the equation, which puts it at their fake 4%. 4% is terrible, but the actual number is closer to 15%.
That's not what they're saying. They're saying they're overestimating the growth of the economy by 15%.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they conclude that the effect of inflation has been understated by half.
Understood by half. So then, okay. And if you
take
out energy,
that doesn't give you an inflation number. It just means that they've been understating it. So every number, every month, you could possibly double that.
Right.
That's one way of looking at it. The numbers are more complicated than for me to just summarize for you. That's why I gave you the headline so you can read it to yourself. But the big conclusion is that when you make all of these adjustments, we've been in a recession since 2022, and that is exactly how the American population feels. It tracks with what voter sentiment is because it's true, and the Democrats are trying to gaslight us about it. Now, what these wars, though, will make worse is a gas crisis, obviously. Now, economist Peter St. Onge said that this could lead to a 1970s level oil and gas crisis. Watch.
Indeed, just in the last 3 months, oil prices had dropped from $86 a barrel to just $66 as jobs numbers trumpeted the coming recession. But all that changed on October 1st, when Iran launched nearly 200 missiles at Israel over the Hezbollah offensive, sending oil soaring more than 8% in a matter of days. So why did oil soar? Because one thing the Ukraine war showed us is it's really easy to destroy energy infrastructure, even for a third world military like Ukraine, meaning Israel could turn off Iranian oil exports at will. Now, on paper, Iranian oil exports are large, but they're not that big. Formally, they're number 16 in the world at about 900,000 barrels exported per day, which is just ahead of the UK. But that 900,000 is just a fraction. So last year, Bloomberg estimated that Iran actually exports over 3 million barrels, most of it illicit, to get around U.S. sanctions. That would put Iran at number 6 in world exports, just under half of what Saudi Arabia exports. Of course, it's not just Iran. The country of Iraq exports even more oil, and it has, thanks to the U.S. invasion that empowered Shiite militias, become deeply aligned with Iran. So Iraq is staying out of the fight for now. But if that changes, perhaps because Iraqi popular opinion forces it, we could be looking at a Saudi Arabia worth of oil coming offline. Now, the last time that happened was the 1990 invasion of Iraq, which drove oil prices from $41 a barrel to $94. The fun does not stop there, because any war with Iran probably means they close the Persian Gulf by blocking the narrow Straits of Hormuz. That could, in theory, deliver something closer to 1970s oil embargo, when inflation-adjusted oil went from $25 to $152 per barrel.
Okay, 1970s level gas crisis, where you cannot actually run your economy or even get to your job because there's no gas in your town. We could, in fact, mine our own gas. We refuse to because idiot environmentalists keep suing the Biden administration to stop that. So,
oh, don't worry. They'll release the strategic oil, petroleum oil reserves.
You think?
Which is what the Biden administration did, of course, last year, and then never replaced them. And so they're still at record lows. And he said he was going to replace them at a much lower and cheaper price, which is not the case.
Okay, we're still waiting.
We're still waiting.
And if you are listening to whether or not Kamala Harris will prevent a war with Iran, I have not heard that yet. I am listening to that. What I hear is that she wants the war in Israel to end, yet she also wants the U.S. to march along on the leash of Benjamin Netanyahu and facilitate, in fact, provoke a war in Iran and Lebanon. So she says she will not even speak with President Putin about peace in Ukraine, keeps repeating all of these lies about Putin's goal to have all of Europe, which, by the way, is the stupidest thing to say. People put that on my social media, and I'm like, what an ignorant stooge you are. Like, first of all, read
Putin's
more books.
Take over Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, do you know how massive Russia is? Do you think they need any more land? Do they need any more resources, and they want to take over Europe?
Yeah.
It's absolutely asinine.
It's the dumbest thing ever. So, you know, those people can go back to CNN and just trade headlines instead of reading books, but don't come crying to me when your child is drafted for a war you know nothing about, and your 401k tanks because you partner with the government to fund a war economy, you matrix slave.
Boom.
Where was I? Trying not to fight with assholes online. Okay.
I like when she gets feisty. No, I know. It's hard. It's sometimes, and people say to me, Clayton, don't interact with the trolls. I know. Yes, occasionally you get a troll, and it just like gets under your skin, and you're like, is that person that stupid?
I really try to rise above it, but I don't always.
It's hard
I'm
going to
admit that.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Hard. It's hard.
Oh, back to why this narrative is bad for Kamala Harris. That's what we were talking about. And don't think I'm letting Donald Trump off the hook. He absolutely seems to be willing to do the exact same thing as the Democrats are going to do for not having peace in the Middle East. But what we're talking about right now is the economy that is stuck to Kamala Harris like a kick me sign on her back. That's what we're talking about. Now, has this hurt her? It seems like it has. Here's a betting site showing how this October condition, maybe not a surprise to the rest of us, but a surprise to the campaign, has shown her campaign tank. Now, there's a lot to see here. First, it does show her winning the popular vote by 72%, but it shows her losing swing states such as Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania by quite a lot, actually, narrowly losing Michigan and Nevada, and in a dead heat for Wisconsin. But notice how she had a lead in the odds right after the nomination was ripped from Joe Biden. So what we're looking at is when she took over the campaign in August and had that boost from being new and fresh, right? And seems to have squandered it since. So, you know, this initial boost, she's lost it precipitously, and it continues to be lost in October. Will this continue to happen? Who knows? And let's not bank on it. It's just one poll from a betting site, which typically tends to be a bit more reliable than media sites. We don't know. And it's still 26 days from the election. Anything can happen because we are fickle consumers of news and sentiment is just bounced around like crazy. We don't know. But it is interesting to note that before these numbers and before the hurricanes and before the strike and before the October 1st escalation of the war in the Middle East, the Times had been kind of hoping that the October surprise was no surprise. Well, this headline stated October 8th, so this was after Iran's attack on Israel. Nevertheless, what they seem to be hoping is that there's no October surprise and we just get through it. And maybe that's one sentiment I share is that my nerves are shot. I don't want any more surprises. I just want to take this to the polls already.
Well, also look at this picture here. I mean, and in our next coming up here, we're going to talk about this, like this fake alien invasion. Like they're pushing for this very, very soon. And you're starting to see we've been covering it here on the show, this idea that we're going to see a World War III moment. And then suddenly missiles are going to be shot out of the sky. People sharing videos over Israel last week of these missiles being shot out of the sky by mysterious craft. And so what better way to unite us all than with a fake alien invasion that is run by the military-industrial complex? It brings us all together. We give over all of our civil rights. We give over all of our civil liberties like we did after the 9/11, like under the Patriot Act. So there's a number of sources that we've been speaking to. These are whistleblowers who are talking about this, that be aware of an October surprise of a fake alien invasion.
Right.
To scare us all and unite us all. And then guess what? We can be locked down once again and we can turn over. And by the way, it's all about continuity of government.
The October surprises were not true. Like those things were not a manipulation of reality or any kind of distortion. It was George Bush did get a DUI. Hillary Clinton was investigated by James Comey.
Yeah.
Trump did have COVID. These are the real October surprises. So now they're sort of showing you, like, if you see anything that's an October surprise, it's probably fake news. It's probably right-wing nut job conspiracy stuff. Like, it's not real, so don't put any stock in it.
The Y-Files, the Project Bluebeam. I mean, it's kind of like laying that out. Like, this is exactly what was talked about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea of a fake alien invasion is all about continuity of government, as our upcoming guest is going to talk about here. Because when you then take away, when you have this like invasion that we need to all now be locked down because of, and they control it, there is a continuity of government that takes the president of the United States out of the equation. And it puts it in the hands of NORAD. And NORAD then becomes the controller of the United States. It becomes the de facto president of the United States. So then we are then under sort of a martial law. And we lose and sort of give up all of our civil liberties. And that's exactly what they would love to do. That's exactly what we did after 9/11 with the Patriot Act. So it's not ridiculous at all. I love that photo, though. I mean, I love that they chose a UFO for that. I mean, they're literally preparing us for this.
I didn't see it that way, but I see what you're saying.
I mean, just listen to these whistleblowers who are talking about this and warning about it. Just, I mean, pay attention, people. We're not crazy. And all of, by the way, all of these, well, we are, but we have to be, right? You know, the crazy ones, like we have to be, because all of these conspiracy theories have come true. Yeah. All of these quote unquote conspiracy theories have now come to pass. So anyway,
well, we're crazy for doing the work we do. I think that we like that all the time. Like, can I just go back to being a Matrix slave sometime? Can I just not know?
Can I go back to my teenage years?
Yeah. Really? I feel like that makes me crazy, but we're here.
Tom Brokaw is telling me that this is the way it is. That's got to be the way it is.
Between his two martini lunch up in the NBC's 30 Rock.
All right. We got more news to you. Are you done?
I think so.
Okay, we got more news to get to here. Coming up, we're going to talk about this terror attack. Could this be the other piece of the October surprise? And why are they setting up this false flag of a terrorist attack on Election Day in the United States? What the hell is happening here? So we're going to talk about how the CIA is actively involved in this, and they were just busted on this. But we had the prediction right here on Redacted 2 weeks ago that this was going to happen. Oh, you're a conspiracy nuts. In fact, I even saw people writing in the chat room while we were talking about this segment 2 weeks ago, that's a conspiracy theory. You guys are crazy. Then it happened. So we're going to get to that in a second. But first.
First, we want to remind you that the number one place to sell something, if you have any kind of idea to launch your business to the world, is Shopify. No one does selling better than Shopify. So if you have something that you would like to sell on the internet, start with Shopify, because they can help you create not just a beautiful store, but also help you figure out how to take it from order to presentation to cashing in on whatever it is that you want to sell. It is home of the number one checkout on the planet. In fact, it's a not so secret that Shop Pay boosts conversions by up to 50% by just making it easy. Someone sees what you have, they like it, they want to buy it, and they pay you. And that's that. That means that less carts go abandoned and you see way more sales going on. And in fact, we will let you know that the Redacted store runs on Shopify. So whenever we have an idea to put a Redacted merchandise on our website, it's super easy to add and delete products on Shopify, and we use it all the time. So you can upgrade your business and get the same checkout as everyone else who is selling on the internet right now. So go to shopify.com/redacted. Use our code redacted to upgrade your selling experience today. One more time, that's shopify.com/redacted. Please give them a visit and let them know that you saw them on Redacted and support independent journalism. One more time, shopify.com/redacted.
I love this in the chat. Global Fever says, brainwashed people don't believe in UFOs. That's right. I love someone else in the chat says, Clayton believes in aliens and UFOs. What's there? It's like believing in the sun. That's well established now. Like, where are you? Read a book, for crying out loud. Here's what I suggest. Anybody who doesn't understand that, or read Philip Corso, Colonel Corso's great book, The Day After Roswell, just as a primer. Just start there. And then actually pay attention to all of the whistleblowers that we featured here on the show who worked in the United States military, U.S. Marines. I mean, for crying out loud. Some of the best pilots in the world, for crying out loud. Like, really? At this point? Come on. Get smarter than that. As you like to say, educate yourself about it.
Read more. Spend your free time reading, not on memes.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, all right, let's dive into this. Here's something that's not fake. Another piece of the October surprise could be the coming terror attack on American soil. You can't make this up. The CIA is actively trying to expand the war in the Middle East. Of course, this is what they want. We need to have an enemy. We need to, you know, go after Iran. We need to attack Russia. We need to hate China. That's the goal, to expand the intelligence community and the military-industrial complex. And they're using terrorist assets that they've brought across the United States border, U.S. southern border. This has happened under the Harris. This is under the Biden-Harris regime right now, the U.S. southern border wide open. I almost can't believe, though, that this happened right after we had CIA agent Michael Scheuer on our show 2 weeks ago. He told us that the FBI, the CIA, use terrorists on a regular basis. And here's what he predicted. He said they would use terrorists to control and carry out an attempted terrorist attack on American soil. And at the last minute, he said, then the intelligence community, the FBI, the CIA would basically swoop in and arrest the person and say, see, we foiled a terrorist attack. Watch him. This is him 2 weeks ago.
The FBI specialty is setting up Muslim terrorists. They get one not very bright Muslim suggest an operation. He goes out and gets some dumber Muslims. And then at the last moment, the FBI picks him up and calls it a victory against terrorism.
Yeah, exactly. So what exactly happened? Well, this week, the Department of Defense announced on a press release, Afghan national arrested for plotting an election day terrorist attack in the name of ISIS. Keep that up on the screen if you would. The Justice Department today announced charges against a citizen of Afghanistan residing in Oklahoma City for conspiring to conduct an election day terrorist attack in the United States on behalf of the Islamic State of Iraq, ISIS, a designated foreign terrorist organization. According to a criminal complaint filed today, Nasir Ahmed Tawhidi conspired and attempted to provide material support to ISIS and obtain firearms, ammunition to conduct a violent attack on U.S. soil in the name of ISIS. As part of the plot, the defendant allegedly took steps to liquidate his family's assets, resettle members of his family overseas, acquire AK-47 assault rifles and ammunition, and commit a terrorist attack in the United States. All right. Amazing job by the Department of Defense to find this guy. They're all over this. You know, our Department of Defense really here to protect Americans right now with a wide open southern border. How did they do it? Well, according to NBC News, though, this guy worked for the CIA.
No.
You cannot make this up, guys.
Get the hell out of here.
This guy worked for the CIA as a CIA guard in Afghanistan. For the love of God, wake up.
Radicalized before or after he arrived following a chaotic American withdrawal. I have some
Put that back up on the screen. Afghan accused of plotting a terror attack worked as a CIA guard. This is not Breitbart News or another conservative website. This is NBC News. And by the way, the byline on this story is one of like the deep state's favorite reporters. So this is not some conspiracy. This is from NBC News confirming this. Now, the CIA wouldn't comment on it, but NBC News figured this out. An Afghan man arrested on charges of planning a terrorist attack on election day worked as a security guard in Afghanistan for the CIA. Two sources with knowledge of the matter told NBC News. He was arrested on Monday in Oklahoma and accused of plotting to kill Americans with an assault rifle on behalf of ISIS. Court documents said he'd contributed to an ISIS charity in March and accessed online ISIS propaganda, but they did not say whether he was radicalized before or after he came to the U.S. in 2021. One senior administration official said counterterrorism officials assessed that Tawhidi became radicalized during the 3 years he lived in the U.S. The senior law enforcement official said the FBI is still investigating that question. So
how'd he get here?
Right, exactly. How did he get here?
When we abandoned so many allies, how did we get over the terrorist ones?
Yeah, well, once you understand this is all part of a massive plan, and they are facilitating the invasion of the United States, and the Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security has opened up our borders and allowed terrorists to come into the United States. Look no further than NBC News confirming it. A CIA asset in the United States is radicalized later on in the U.S. Now that he's got this cushy life in Oklahoma, you become radicalized? Right. Okay. Sure.
But he was not radicalized by our performance in Afghanistan, right, while he was still there.
When he gets to Oklahoma, when he gets to Oklahoma and he can go to the mall and he can get fast food and he can enjoy all of the trappings of what it means to be an American, he can go to AMC theaters and lay down in a recliner chair to watch a movie. That's when he got radicalized. You see? That's when it happened. Not in Afghanistan, when we worked with him and he was a part of the CIA.
Well, it was big news here in Portland. I don't know if you remember the tree lighting ceremony where basically the FBI had coerced this young Muslim kid they gave him a fake bomb and he tried to set it off for the Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. But it turned out it was the FBI that orchestrated the whole thing.
What? Yes. I don't know that story.
It almost ends up being the FBI. Like you can look at the school shooters. You can formerly questioned by the FBI, previously questioned. Like they're always involved somehow.
I mean, the governor plot in Michigan, for crying out loud. I mean, what more evidence do you need of these people? And here you have a former CIA agent telling us exactly how it was going to go down. You want this false flag before the election? Here's how the CIA and the FBI normally do it. They use dumb Muslims that they find that they've taken under their wing as assets. They basically bring them in and control them, and they give them some weapons and tell them to carry out a particular plot. And then they swoop in and they grab them. This is exactly what happened.
But is it an insurance policy that whoever is elected will continue the wars, you think?
I think it is, absolutely. I mean, again, this is why I believe that Trump was pushed out in the first place, was not allowed to win the last election, is because of his willingness to end the wars in the Middle East. And of course, you know, and we saw what happened with that. But so I think that that's the case. It's an extension of the military industrial complex, and they control the government. They don't want this. They don't want their gravy train cut off. Here is I love what Senator Kennedy had to say about conspiracy theories, because he just said this last night about, you know, when people are talking about conspiracy theories right now, he said, we've literally like hit a home run on every occasion as it relates to conspiracy theories. We need new conspiracy theories because all the other ones have come true. Watch.
Well, Vice President Harris and some members of the media are complaining that people are asking hard questions about the Biden-Harris recovery to Hurricane Helene. They say it's a new conspiracy theory. I'll concede that we need some new conspiracy theories, but it's because all the old ones turned out to be true. Conspiracy theories up something like 37-0. Here are the facts. Helene was a monster storm. We saw it coming. The federal government had time to prepare. It wasn't prepared. We don't have nearly enough soldiers and military helicopters rescuing people. During Katrina, we had 20,000 soldiers and 350 military helicopters. A week after the storm in Appalachia, we had, I think, 7,000 soldiers and maybe 100 helicopters, and you especially need helicopters in a mountainous area. Senators Budd and Tillis are so frustrated, they've asked Vice President Harris and President Biden to put an active duty military leader in charge, but so far, I don't think they've heard anything. Now, in the middle of this...
So, his point is that over and over and over again, whenever we've called out the government's, hypocrisy or failure, and we've been labeled, you guys are right wing, you guys are MAGA people for saying that the government, right. And then here, once again, you see the failure, whether it's Hurricane Helene, the response there, whether you see the government inability to protect President Trump. Where were the Secret Service agents that day? Oh, they weren't there. All of it, on and on and on. And we're sick of it. Well, and
we can't forget that. Conspiracy theorist is a term that was created by the CIA to discredit people during the JFK assassination, to make it so that, those people seeking truth, they're just crazy.
Well, it's also the same with the UFO story. I mean, the government created an entire program in order to call anybody who saw things crazy. That's why members of the military would see craft all the time but didn't want to lose their jobs. So they wouldn't come forward and go on the record about it. So yes, the idea of a conspiracy theorist has kept people from speaking.
The CIA actually like targeted a guy. I can't remember the names involved, but targeted a guy who was a radio enthusiast. They basically like sent him fake messages, drove the guy absolutely crazy because they wanted to show that how crazy the UFO nuts were, and so they literally ruined the man's life just to prove their point.
Yeah, read the great book Mirage Men if you want to understand Richard Doty and the whole process. I mean, it's an excellent book. You should all read it. I think they even made it into a television series, Mirage Men, or a documentary series. Anyway, read it. All right, we got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to talk about weather modification. They call this a conspiracy theory, and President Biden tried to say this yesterday was a conspiracy theory, and in fact... former presidents of the United States are on tape talking about it, and the head of the CIA is talking about it. And we're going to speak with a whistleblower who specifically worked at the South Pole Station in Antarctica. Wait till you hear what he has to say about it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, right now, I don't know if you noticed, gold prices surging to near all-time highs once again, trading at near all-time highs. We are big proponents of making sure, Natalie just did a whole segment about inflation. The inflation numbers that came out in September are devastating for the Kamala Harris team. And that means, what that means is your U.S. dollar is being devalued again and again. And once the Fed cuts rates again in November, get ready for the U.S. dollar to decline even more. That's why we are big proponents of investing in gold and in silver. We just made an investment in both, actually, and we split it about 60% in silver, 40% in gold. And we did it with our friends at Lear Capital. They helped us, and that's how we invest. So we just call up our 800 number. We speak to them. They're an American company. You're going to speak to American patriots. They're not off in some Indian call center somewhere. And they can help you figure out how to transfer some of the U.S. dollars you have, which is losing value, and then solidify it. It's not, to me, about, investing in gold and silver. It's not about, like, oh, my God, I hope it surges in price up to $3,000 an ounce. That'd be great. And that's what Bank of America is predicting, gold over $3,000 an ounce. But for me, it's about wealth preservation. Talk to any investor, any smart investor. It's about taking $1 and then transferring it to gold and then keeping its value for many, many years for your family. Because gold and silver have survived wars, famines, the decline of governments, the decline of fiat currencies. Every government currency in world history has collapsed. Why would the U.S. dollar be any different? So this is a way to protect your family. And our friends at Lear can help you do that. Just call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557, to get your free gold investing guide. Or go to LearRedacted.com. That's LearRedacted.com. There's no obligation to purchase. And the best part is, if you make a decision to purchase your gold and then the next day, 24 hours later, you're like, I don't feel like it, and call them back. They have a 24-hour nice cooling off period, and you can change your mind, and they'll say, great, no problem. And you don't have to do it. So it's a great company. 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. All right. So yesterday I had a chance to sit down with Eric Hecker. He worked at the South Pole Station in Antarctica, and he's one of only a handful of people. He used to actually work for Raytheon. And then he saw what they were doing at the South Pole Station. And you won't believe what he discovered. He then became a whistleblower. He testified in front of the United States Senate under threat of perjury. And what he saw was astonishing. And so he was flabbergasted when people are sitting there saying there's no such thing as weather modification. What he worked on at the South Pole Station makes the HAARP project up in Alaska look like a baby project. The machines that are at the South Pole Station that are able to control earthquakes and the weather, and not only that, is a giant UFO control tower, which is a neutrino control tower. So I had a chance to speak with Eric, but we specifically talked about the weather modification tools. And so here, I want to play a little bit of this interview for you with Eric Hecker. Let's talk about the weather piece of this. So we're seeing the weather manipulation. We've covered this extensively here on the show. The NEXRAD radar systems that have been used to direct and move these storms in a path of destruction. The control of these storms is unbelievable. And I think most Americans were kind of silent, didn't realize that this was actually happening. I think the cat is out of the bag on all of this now. But I'm curious what the South Pole Station does is, and when you work there, how it actually is able to be used as an earthquake generating machine, what else it's doing there, and maybe how this is tied to the current weather events and all of the things that we're seeing right now across the United States. Can you give our audience more of an overview of that?
Absolutely. The South Pole Station has a system known as the Ice Cube Neutrino Detector. It is currently the world's largest phased array transmitter. This is basically Tesla technology. I'm sure a lot of the audience is familiar with systems like HAARP, which is effectively built on the surface of the Earth, and it has a 2D situation. It has length and width as far as a phased array goes. The South Pole Station differs in so far as it also goes down deep into the ice, giving it a third dimension, length, width, and height. So it has exponential more, I guess you would say, capabilities. Targeting
than a harp discharge of power.
Then, yeah, it's like harp on steroids, basically. So, yes, it generated the earthquakes that occurred in Christchurch, New Zealand, in February of 2011.
And you told me before, I'll let you go on in a second, but when you and I chatted on the phone a few weeks ago, you mentioned, I don't know if you can say this now or if I'm speaking out of telling tales out of school here, but you were speaking to a source that you worked with at the South Pole Station. Since you left there, said the technology has gotten so advanced now with these generation of earthquakes that it's like an autopilot system in an aircraft. I think you described it, that it's so advanced now, it would blow your mind at how targeted these earthquakes are that they can use from this South Pole Station.
Basically, the trick of it all, one of the things that I learned when I went to this event in Alamosa, Colorado, I spoke with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Simeon Hine, and he was doing a presentation on ball lightning. And one of the things that he discussed was how there are reports when earthquakes occur that ball lightning, I guess you would say, is ejected, manufactured by the earthquake. So I engaged him in a dialogue, and I said, well, Doc, wouldn't there be some sort of symmetry there that if an earthquake can discharge ball lightning, wouldn't we be able to deliver ball lightning to generate an earthquake? And he agreed that it's just simply the matter of being able to deliver said energy, which for all practical purposes, think of it having an explosive capacity to it. So if you can wirelessly transmit energy from a power supply somewhere on Earth, deliver it to another location, the end result is quite simply an earthquake. Wireless transmission of energy is something that Nikola Tesla has brought up, 100 some odd years ago now. So this is the state of the union, is that Nikola Tesla discovered this stuff. The powers that be absconded his information. They cordoned it off away from the mass population and have been monopolizing the use of these types of technologies for many decades now. We the people are suffering under this monopoly of technology by our oppressors. It's literally just that simple. And that would be the motive for them to have agents, for lack of a better term, flooding the disclosure community with BS to muddy the waters and confuse us, we the people, so that we can continue to be wholly oppressed and well managed.
When you were at the South Pole Station, you witnessed this ice cube neutrino machine in action. So it goes deep and it's and much larger than HARP. And I guess just walk us through what they would be using this for. How would they be manipulating the weather? How would they be manipulating and targeting earthquakes around the world? Why would they be doing this? And who is in control of the South Pole Station at this point? Is it the United States government? You were a contractor with Raytheon when you were there. Is it a private enterprise? Who is controlling it?
Great questions. First and foremost, one of the things that the former crew members had emphasized to me to try to get people to understand, as I'm trying to get this information out there, is that you have to understand it's just very easy now to deliver that energy anywhere on the planet. It's not challenging.
Like they can pick a spot. They can pick a spot in Iran and they can just put it, dial it in on the computer and launch an earthquake.
Deliver the energy that instigates it. The term that people should become familiar with is earthquake induction or earthquake inducing. So similar to like when you go on the internet and you Google chemtrails, right? You're going to get a whole bunch of baloney that says chemtrails are garbage, blah, blah. But if you Google the term stratospheric aerosol injection, you'll start to find all of the science of what's really going on when they crisscross our skies. So
and the patents and all of that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So right. if you look up inducing earthquakes or earthquake induction, you will become privy to a sea of information and science that supports the existence of this technology. It's just that available. People just need to start paying attention to what's going on in the world around them and this disparity in technology. As far as who's running the facility, I'm not 100% sure. This was part of that conversation that I had in Washington, D.C., is because it seems like these, these unacknowledged special access programs, USAP, which anybody who's paying close attention, USAP is the actual title of the Antarctic program. It's the United States Antarctic Program, USAP. It is a USAP program by definition. So they are being very deceptive as to what the secondary and tertiary capacities are for this massive phased array system, and they're just pumping it out to the general population as if it's operating under the auspices of science. Of course, things like that have to be secreted away. They're not going to be running around saying, we have the world's largest directed energy weapons system at the South Pole Station in Antarctica, because first and foremost, it would breach the Antarctic treaties. And people would say, oh, well, they would never do that. Well, study Greenland and look what happened down there when the United States of America was sneaking nuclear missile bases into Greenland without telling the local authorities. This is an activity that our nation and many other nations are more than happy to break the rules every single chance they get.
We've seen a number of these NEXRAD radar systems going off in bursts and basically directing Hurricane Helene into an area where the NEXRAD radar systems were not going off, being directed in a path. Of course, a lot of discussion about HAARP and how all of this plays into it. If you talked about the South Pole Station, the Ice Cube neutrino machine basically being HAARP on steroids, how would it or likely be used with Hurricane Milton, Hurricane Helene, in the United States?
I believe it would just be simple delivery of energy. That it is that simple. These systems themselves, we're just observing Mother Nature and the flow of her energies. We call it a storm. We call it a hurricane. It's just a matter of practice through the application and delivery from systems like this that have copious amounts of power available to deliver. It's just a matter of playing around and learning the targeting and reaction. It's application of intention and checking the reaction. And this is something that they seem to have gotten dialed in, whether it be through one singular system at the South Pole, or like we're seeing with the NEXRAD systems, or potentially through integrating with other HAARP platforms around the world. We just need to start to appreciate that this is exactly how it works and how simple it can be. Energy can be delivered wirelessly with great accuracy and impact, and we're witnessing it with our own eyes. And we need to start asking the right questions of the right people. And we need to stop being led by the nose by the misinformationists and disinformationists that, frankly, don't really have any skin in the game other than profiteering. It's a neutrino detector. Okay, well, what did it cost? And what's the price per neutrino detected? And what do we do with that information? What's the value in science, that's the return on the investment for the average mortgage payer that's investing into this? What do we care where neutrinos are coming from? It doesn't seem to have much logic and reasoning to what we're being told its function is. But if we realize that there are rogue factions in control of the world's largest phased array transmitter that can deliver copious amounts of energy anywhere on the planet to manipulate storms, to increase them, to steer them, to create earthquakes. It was many decades ago that the Air Force put together a plan to control the weather by 2025. This is a report that's available on the internet now. This is a report that was handed to me in great secrecy many years ago. I was told to never get caught with it, but it stated very clearly that weather warfare and weather manipulation was the battlefield of the future, that he who controls the weather controls the planet. I do not believe that the United States government is the only faction working in this capacity. I do not even believe that nation states are the only factions working in this capacity. In my experience, nation states are puppets to military industrial corporation contractors. Those folks run the world. because there's no freedom of information that allows you to dig into their archives and let us know what they're doing. They simply manufacture whatever they want and then sell it to the highest bidder. Nothing prevents these companies from building their own fleets of UFOs. Nothing's stopping them from going off planet and mining asteroids if they want. Here's another thing that people don't consider. If we're not told that a technology exists, then it's not regulated.
That's Eric Hecker, who worked for Raytheon at the South Pole Station in Antarctica. And he's fed up. He's fed up with all of these charlatans who don't know what they're talking about when it relates to what's going on in Antarctica. These people that like take like tourist trips and don't even get anywhere near the South Pole Station. And he's a whistleblower, came forward and testified before the Senate and what's actually happening there and these directed energy weapons. And he's saying what's happening there is criminal. And so I think what's most telling about this, by the way, you can see the full interview. We're going to release the full interview this weekend. If you are a Redacted Plus member, we're going to release that full interview first to you on Friday, I think, right, Philip? If you go to redacted.inc.
Yes.
But I think what was most telling, and Philip and I talked about this yesterday, is that the fact that many of these NGOs, many of these non-governmental organizations are specifically involved in this, and it's unregulated. They don't have to answer to Congress. They're not in front of Congress. Congress doesn't have to. It's not some DOD program. It's offhanded to them, right? I mean, I think that's at the heart of this.
Yeah, and the contractors that are handling, like the basics on these places, you know, like the commissaries and the janitorial stuff like that are freaking defense contractors. Like, why is Raytheon there? Why is Lockheed Martin there?
For sanitation purposes? Like, literally, plumbing and sanitation services are handled by Lockheed Martin? What? And Raytheon? Come on, people, wake up, please. I know you guys are awakened, but so many people aren't. And
but also the energy with which the media is denying this out of pocket is concerning. And it tells you, oh, there's something they don't want you to see there. Let's look there then. It's like when your mom's like, don't look under there. Don't look in that cabinet.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, and the military's use of these technologies down there is astonishing. So anyway, do your own research on this, but we're going to have the full interview you can watch of Eric Hecker. And there's a lot more because we go into a lot with the UFO program and the cover up and how the UFO disclosure program right now, they keep giving you these like little drips and drabs of stuff to distract you from the real stories. Like, I don't know if you saw the Michael Schellenberger piece this week about now we have a name for the program. Oh, we're all supposed to get excited about that when he's like, here we have actual information from the South Pole Station. Like, pay attention to what's actually happening instead of being led by the nose by these people in Congress and David Grush and all that other stuff right now. So anyway, more on that.
We have more news to get to. We're going to talk about free speech, whether or not we are actually defenders of speech that we don't like because one professor was fired or put on leave in Kansas. And we're going to show you this, and we're going to collectively push ourselves to think outside the box, not just in our preconceived bubbles. So are you ready for that? Are you ready to be uncomfortable? First, though, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Bioptimizers, because the clock is ticking on 2024, but it's not too late to revolutionize your health, and positive changes can take effect in very short periods of time, like better nutrition showing results in just 1 to 2 weeks, consistent workouts transforming your body in just 8 to 12 weeks, and of course quality sleep can improve your life in just 14 days. Now imagine having the benefit of all of those things by taking Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This is a groundbreaking formula that harnesses 7 forms of highly bioavailable magnesium, scientifically designed to elevate your sleep, support your workout recovery, and boost muscle growth. And it really does help you to drift off to sleep effortlessly and then wake up with more energy than before. So don't let any more time fade away. Seize control of your health and destiny with Magnesium Breakthrough. They are here to help. So go to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. If you use our code redacted, you get 10% off, and you're supporting the show by supporting our sponsors. So it's time to make these last days of 2024 legendary with Magnesium Breakthrough. Head on over to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. All right. Well, a professor from the University of Kansas said that men who don't vote for Kamala Harris should be lined up and shot. But then he backtracked and said, oh, scratch that from the recording. I actually don't want anyone to see that. We're going to have a listen to it. But this is an exercise in thought. And I want to push you because is this his First Amendment right? The First Amendment does cover humor. So is he joking here? Now, since we are all committed to being advocates, staunch advocates of free speech, does it, then if you do love free speech, you have to fight for the rights of the speech that even you don't like. So let's all watch this and decide, is this his First Amendment right or is it not?
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up, and they clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Okay.
No one laughed, by the way, in the classroom. So the humor fell flat.
Right.
But you could tell he was nervously like laughing to himself as if almost he tried to make a joke.
Right.
You know, like people do that when they make a joke and then they try to cover up the awkward silence with their own sort of right.
Yeah.
Like Chuck Schumer does, you know.
Right. I think if we want to be academically honest, we have to admit that this one's tricky. Right. And then let's pretend that he's advocating the shooting the supporters of whoever you do like, or pretend that you feel this way about whoever you do support. Right. After this video came out, he was put on leave and the University of Kansas released this notice saying, we are aware of a classroom video in which an instructor made an inappropriate reference to violence. The instructor is being placed on administrative leave pending further investigation. The instructor offers his sincerest apologies and deeply regrets the situation. His intent was to emphasize his advocacy for women's rights and equality, and he recognizes he did a very poor job of doing so. The university has established process for situations like this and will follow that process. Okay, now free speech advocacy group FIRE, which I usually really agree with, I like this group a whole lot, says that they're looking into whether or not this was a violation of the professor's First Amendment rights. Here they say the First Amendment protects jokes, including brief and off-topic ones. That's why FIRE is looking into this suspension and of an instructor for an apparent joke about shooting men who don't want to vote for a woman president. The University of Kansas must uphold its obligation to avoid punishing protected speech. So again, I put it to you, was this his right to say or not? Was he actually inciting a violence? Now, liberals like to cry that all words are violent, right? And so even if you hurt someone's feelings, liberals say that could and should be a crime. We've seen them make that argument increasingly during the Biden administration. Conservatives and libertarians reject that. So do they reject that in this man's case? How would a court decide whether or not he's joking or not? Well, if we look to Kansas law, it is a crime in Kansas to incite riots or violence against others, but only if it's accompanied by power or apparent power of immediate execution. Does it look like this guy has the power of immediate execution? He uses his finger for a gun. Does it look like he actually can incite men or people to go and shoot men who won't vote for a woman? Alternatively, I wonder, could the university address this as standards of decorum and say that this is against our principles or principles of, say, mutual respect for all opinions?
Bob of Atlantis in our Rumble chat says this was not an imminent call to action. It's free speech. This guy is an idiot, but he has the right to say that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Right. Is that the general sentiment?
General
that didn't
sentiment.
Want to come out of my mouth.
I was like, I would try to help you. I literally couldn't figure out what words you were trying to say.
Is that the gentiment?
Is that the gentiment? I'm like,
I'm ready for a break.
Is that the gentiment?
Me?
But others people say, no, he doesn't have, let's see, let me see. KJ Boyer says he doesn't have free speech if that hate speech was against school policy. So again, yeah, school policy, you're teaching students. So that's a different, you know, different element here. He's not just standing on a street corner saying that, like, right. Oh, you guys out here, don't vote for Kamala Harris, should be shot. You know, he's not saying that. He's in a school, in an environment that has a school policy as well. I mean, but he still falls under free speech. Yeah. But what is the school policy, you know?
I mean, I feel like it's he has a First Amendment right to say that, because I don't think he was inciting violence. He was more like the, you know, won't somebody rid me of this troublesome priest? Like, he's, you know, like, I don't think he's doing that. I don't think he's like inciting violence. However, so it's, I don't think it's a First Amendment thing, but it's improper. And for that, like, improper behavior is something that the university can't address. And so I think they should have the right to discipline as they see fit for improper behavior.
Right, but that's a slippery slope when you see how universities have defined improper behavior as conservative behavior, people who refuse to acknowledge, let's say, that a man can be a woman, people who want to talk about black-on-black gun violence, they call that hurtful, and they say that's improper. So that is a slippery slope of taking away free speech or speech that they don't like. So I would want to say, is there some kind of conduct that you have to be respectful of all opinions? Maybe that could be the rule, and that's clearly not respectful. Also, the fact that he just kind of makes a gun out of his hand doesn't show that he's got any real gun with him or anything like that. I actually had a friend whose daughter was, she had Down syndrome, and she said, like, oh, I'll shoot you. She was a child, like 4. And the teacher said, we're going to transition now to this. It's time to do math. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'll shoot you. And they literally filed a complaint against a Down syndrome kid. The school district said that a 4-year-old with Downs was threatening a teacher. She was 4. She made it. She had no gun on her. And so anyhow, this is something how you can see this becomes a dangerous, slippery slope. So
D's Nuts in our YouTube chat, D's Nuts says, if the tables were turned, we would have FBI agents knocking. I think that's legit.
Yeah.
Right. That's your point about saying about, you know, gender stuff a second ago. And, you know.
Right.
That if the tables were turned, yes.
Yeah.
People knocking on the doors, showing up. We want to come to your house and ask you about your social media posts.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So, okay. That was that. I appreciate this discussion. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I'm here to admit that this is a tricky one. And you have to stand for speech you don't like if you're a free speech purist. And so that's what we're doing. We're looking at that through that lens. So thanks for having that fun conversation with me. Leave your comments in the chat if you have more to say.
We are going to talk about Canada. Did you know that the Canadian government is collapsing? Justin Trudeau is in hiding, basically, in Southeast Asia right now. He's in Laos. Like, what the hell is the Canadian prime minister doing in Laos? Oh, I know why. There's a massive green slush fund scandal that's happening in Canada right now, where they pulled up a whole tens of millions of dollars and they handed it out to many of Trudeau's friends. That's right. For projects that have never come to fruition. And now they could be facing a collapse of his government. That's why Trudeau is in hiding. Even the Globalist newspaper today said, why has he not resigned yet? Like, there's a huge push to get Trudeau out of there. Will there be a snap election coming in the next couple of weeks? We will see. Our friend David Creighton is going to join us from Ottawa to talk about that. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Tax Network USA, because if you owe back taxes, now is the time to get some help, because the IRS is not your friends. They are attack dogs. In fact, they hired they've started off the year by sending up over 5 million pay up letters to anyone who has unfiled tax returns or balance owed, and they are hunting that money down. So don't waive your rights and speak with them on your own. Let Tax Network USA, a trusted tax relief firm, help you. They have saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their clients, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. So whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. Whether it's business or personal taxes, even if you have the means to pay but you're on a fixed income, they can help resolve your tax burdens once and for all. So give them a call at 1-800-9000 958-1000 for a free consultation or visit them at tnusa.com/redacted. Again, that's 1-800-958-1000 or go to tnusa.com/redacted.
Well, has the Canadian government been taken over by total liberal corruption? Well, that's exactly what members of parliament are telling the Post-Millennial and David Creighton, who broke this story. And this is all happening in the wake of Trudeau's green slush fund scandal. So what is going on in Canada? Well, let's check in with David Creighton, who broke this story at the Post-Millennial. So, David, good to see you. Total corruption inside parliament. Is that what's happening here?
It's total corruption and total chaos inside parliament. The funny thing is, though, Clayton, it took the mainstream media almost a full week to notice. I see a story from CBC last night saying, hey, what's happening in parliament? Looks like it's paralyzed. It's been that way for a week. And it's been the new media and the independent media that have actually noticed it. Now, why? I have no idea. It's almost like there's this willful denial from much of the mainstream media that Trudeau is in such trouble. And this is an incredible scandal. And I interviewed the chief critic on this, the ethics critic for the Conservative Party, the official opposition, Michael Barrett, on Monday about this. And he really, really filled me in on what's going on. It's incredible. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars related to what's being called the Green Slush Fund. Technically, it's the Sustainable Development Technology Canada. It's been called the Green Slush Fund, though, because anybody who had any kind of vague idea about some green industry and happened to be a good friend of cabinet ministers in the Trudeau government, or Justin Trudeau himself, or were good backroom liberal donors, got access to this program and were given grants, were given money to set up. Half of these things didn't even have anything to do with so-called green technology. A lot of them didn't even work. In some cases, they weren't even anything more than ideas that were being financed. But the corruption angle here is very, very clear. These were friends of the Liberal government, friends of Justin Trudeau, who were given a lot of money, a bag of money to pursue, in many cases, absolutely nothing. They were given money. And this isn't the first time this government has been bogged down in this kind of incredible scandal like this, with hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted, taxpayer money being thrown away. This one, shall I say, is going to stick. This is the first time the opposition party, official opposition, with the support of the New Democrats and the Bloc Québécois, have actually forced Parliament to shut down. The Speaker agreed with them last week and said, all right, no more government business until we examine. He didn't say examine government corruption. But he said, until we examine this issue, meaning government corruption. So this has been very seminal in terms of the history of the Canadian Parliament, and I would say even in the history of legislative bodies around the world.
Today, The Globalist published a story saying, Canada, what explains Justin Trudeau's long goodbye? Is the Canadian Prime Minister's refusal to leave office a symptom of hubris, or does he have a legitimate hope for a turnaround? I thought that was great. Does Justin Trudeau actually believe he can turn this around? And why has he not resigned at this point? I mean, he did survive that non-confidence vote a few weeks ago. So does he feel like that he has the hubris now to continue, that the Canadian people love him?
Well, Justin Trudeau always believes that the Canadian people love him. He believes everybody secretly loves him, even though the evidence to the contrary is overwhelming. He hasn't even been in the House of Commons this week, Clayton. He's been in Southeast Asia. He made a stop right in the Middle East. He's in Laos yesterday. What in the heck is he doing there? And he hasn't even acknowledged the crisis in the House of Commons. His cabinet ministers, this is what really kills me, Clayton, is that his House leader, Karina Gould, this is the same woman who helped support the former Waffen-SS member coming to Parliament. And when it was discovered he was a former Waffen-SS, a former Nazi, she said, let's just excise this from the parliamentary record. Let's redact it. Let's redact right. it all from Hansard like it never happened. So now, you know what she's saying is that, well, if we examine corruption, this is going to be a violation of Canadians' charter rights. People are saying, what? How does that add up? But she's saying, well, you know, it has everything to do with we can't deliver these unredacted documents to the RCMP, which the issue is here. The Conservatives and all the opposition parties are demanding that the uncensored documents relating to this green slush fund be delivered to the RCMP so they can potentially prosecute Justin Trudeau and the Liberals. The House leader, Karina Gould, is saying this would be a violation of Canadians' charter rights because there has been no search warrant issued. And everyone's saying, what does this have to do with having public knowledge of documents or giving these to the RCMP? There's no search warrant involved here. This is just the worst kind of falsification, and the only way I can say, of this issue, by this woman who persists in trying to confuse people about what this is really about. She's the one that's obviously very confused.
On these slush fund issues here, can you just give a few examples to the audience as to how this money has flowed to different shady sources? Are there any sort of glaring examples that you might be able to share?
Well, you're talking about companies that really, in many cases, didn't even have names. This is what makes it so incredible. These were ideas, not companies, not names. So the idea of, well, we have a green energy plan here to produce more wind power. How are you going to do that? And wind power is not working anyway. And all it seems to do is kill birds. And it's an environmental catastrophe. But that doesn't matter. So, okay, here's $20 million. So you can start thinking about how you're going to do that. This is how lax it was. These people did not even in many cases have legitimate businesses, legitimate companies. And this money is being doled out on the basis of, let's consider this. Here's an idea. Here's a proposal. Oh, and there's money for you. As long as you're a friend of the management. And reminded me of the scene from Casablanca where I'm shocked to discover there's gambling going on here. Oh, but you're a friend of Mr. Rick. That's okay. So...
Right. You're a friend of Justin Trudeau. That's okay. You can have this money that flows to you illegally. Where do things stand now? I mean, what's going to happen? Will there be any criminal prosecutions here? Will there be any sort of hearings on this? Or is this going to be swept under the rug?
I can't see this being swept under the rug. There's just far too much evidence here. And he's done it before. But he is so incredibly delusional right now, meaning Justin Trudeau is so incredibly detached from reality, wandering around the world as usual, creating a large carbon footprint with his jet, and not even seeing to be bothered by this. And when he's questioned by reporters now, his exit line is always, I don't do politics. And it's incredible, but that is his exit line now. I don't do politics. And he resorts to the usual talking points of, I'm rolling up my sleeves, and he literally attempts to roll up his sleeves, and I'm getting to work for the work that needs to be done for the Canadian people. Now there's talk, Clayton, and I'm hearing this from some sources. I don't think it's really going to happen, that Justin Trudeau will prorogue Parliament. Now, that is a British parliamentary tradition where the Prime Minister, with the approval of the Governor General, or in the UK, of the Queen or the King, can actually just end Parliament until further notice. And it's a very controversial thing to do. It's been done three times in the last about 10 or 15 years. And Justin Trudeau can say, I'm proroguing Parliament till the spring because I just can't handle it anymore. It's a possibility. But the thing is, if he does that, all of the legislation that's currently on the docket dies with the proroguing. So that would mean, thankfully, well, a lot of bills like the Online Harms Act, the censorship bill with the thought crimes component, will die. It will not see even a second reading. We have another bill that's going, believe it or not, C-293, that is going to outlaw meat products during a pandemic. That is on the verge of passing in the Senate. That will die. This oil bill that is going to criminalize any speech promoting the fossil fuel industry. You did a segment on your show about this. That will die as well. So a lot of us are crossing our fingers and saying, maybe Justin Trudeau, this is your only way out to maintain your leadership. But it might be the only way out to get this legislation killed before the next election. Now, the other possibility, Justin Trudeau comes back and says, I'm going to fight. But he's losing the support of those opposition parties that supported him in the last non-conference vote. The NDP are wavering because they see themselves as the next official opposition. The Liberals are that low in the polls. And the Bloc Québécois is saying, well, I think we're going to pull the plug on this too. So it's looking like it might be good news either way for people who believe in freedom and free speech anyway.
Well, we'll see. Do you think there'll be another non-confidence vote? If that's one of the alternatives?
If Trudeau does not prorogue within the next week or so, yes, there will be. There definitely will be. And we know already that the separatist party that supported Trudeau the last time has essentially said it's going to pull the plug on this. And the only wild card right now is the NDP, the New Democratic Party, the Socialist Party under Jagmeet Singh, who it seems to be once again saying it's time to move to a new election. It's time to move to an early election. So I think we're going to either see Trudeau prorogue the parliament or we're going to see a possibly November election in this country, which would coincide almost exactly with the U.S. presidential and congressional elections. So very interesting.
Yeah, the stars are aligning once again between our two countries.
If we don't blow the world up first with a nuclear war in Ukraine or the Middle East. So that's always a possibility.
Yeah, we have a fewer than 30 days now until the election. So we will see. David, great to see you as always. And I appreciate the fall. I love the fall shirt. I love the fall shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
Get in the fall mood. Handsome as always. I love that fall shirt. I need to get one of those. I think that's
you do.
Yes, I need to get one of those. It's time to, now it's starting to get cooler. I need to make the switch. David, great to see you. Thanks for the great reporting on this. And thanks for keeping them honest up there as always.
Okay. Thank you so much, Clayton. We'll be back again.
So that's going to do it for us today on this Thursday. I should mention that next week, our kids are out of school, so we're taking a few days off. There won't be a live show next week here on Redacted. We will still have some content for you throughout the week, and we'll be monitoring what's going on. We may have some special reports that we will release at that time, but no live show, but we will be back the week after that. So again, we will be off this next week. Also, no newsletter next week. So sometimes, you need a brain reset, and with all the craziness that's happening in the world, we need to do that. Everyone needs to do that from time to time. So just going to spend some time with the kids and just kind of shut down for a little bit to the best of our ability, but we will be back in earnest, just giving a few days off to the team, we will be back the following week. But hey, we should mention we do have a VIP club. It's our Plus Club, Redacted Plus, and thank you guys so much for signing up and becoming a part of our community. If you want to support independent journalism, you can do that. We've been doing we're really trying to ramp up a lot of things now within the Plus Club. Exclusive interviews that you'll get to see before anyone else, also live streams, special Q&A episodes, and we're going to be doing a lot more of this, but we've already started ramping things up here for the election season. So again, thank you. This show is totally free. Everything we do here is free. But if you want to support us in an additional way, join our Redacted Plus community. You can do that by going to redacted.inc. You can join us, support us for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. You get to pick the price, by the way. You can do it as cheaply as you want or as most expensively as you want. It's totally up to you. But if you do want to support us in that way, you can. Thank you for supporting independent media. Once again, it's redacted.inc. Thank you guys for joining the community. So thank you guys. We'll see you back here a week from now. But again, we'll have content. We'll have some special interviews for you that you won't see anywhere else, and that will be published this week as well. So thank you guys, and we hope you have a great rest of your week. Thank you guys. Bye.